potentially 4-month delay, although we're going to do our best to make good use of that time in terms of the development process and refining our design and working on workforce development and our outreach to vendors. So we don't view those as purely lost months, but clearly we're going to have to marshal our supporters to run a campaign to educate the rest of the Commonwealth about the November, what's at stake for the November 4th vote.
So MGM is going to be actively campaigning then to try to defeat this referendum in November.
Well, MGM, along with a coalition of supporters, business bureaus, you know, laborers, vendors, all the different stakeholders that have really more, as much if not more, at stake with our economic development project as MGM does.
So as you've already made the outreach, made the effort to line up these groups and to get their pledge to support you in the campaign.
Yeah, not formally. I mean, it's been a pretty hectic 36 hours or so, but you know, there's really been an outpouring of support from not only folks in Springfield and our supporters, but really in the region. Our phones are ringing off the hook. And people who support this project want to be involved in making sure that the rest of the Commonwealth knows how important it is to them. So it's starting already, and we're going to continue that dialogue and that strategy and effort.
Do you expect to partner, if that's the right word, with the other casino companies that are still seeking licenses in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I think you're right. Partner is not necessarily the right word. I think we're going to collaborate and make sure that we all agree about the communication plan and that we're consistent about really talking about the important benefits that come with each of our respective projects. They're all unique, and they have their own different aspects to them. But I think at the end of the day, they consistently hit the public policy issues that were behind the Gaming Act passage back in 2011, which is economic development, jobs, and repatriating revenue that's been exported, you know, across state lines. So there's a dialogue's already begun, and we'll continue to talk. The folks in the eastern region are in the middle of their licensing process, so it's going to be an ongoing dialogue.
Given some recent public polling that would indicate that Massachusetts voters now appear to be about evenly divided on the question of casinos, what's your outlook for this? How confident are you that you can convince people to keep casinos in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I think there's still strong support for gaming in the state, particularly when it's tied to local choice. So what you see in the fluctuations in the polls, in our view, is a matter of what kind of questions are being asked. One is your own views on gaming, and different people have different views on it. But really the more important question, we think, is what are your views about this gaming law and a host city that has approved it and wants that type of economic activity? And I think when you ask that question, there's very strong support. So we feel good about our chances in November on November 4th, as long as we reinforce that message.
Do you think you can get someone in, say, Worcester, for example, to vote for a casino in Springfield? Do you think you can convince them that it's in their best interest to vote to allow a casino to be built in Springfield?
I do. I think there's a regional impact for all the gateway cities, and there's a recognition throughout the Commonwealth that it's important that all of these different opportunities for economic development happen within the Commonwealth, even if they don't directly benefit a particular community. There's certainly tax revenue that's going to come back to the state, and it lands in various buckets that go to infrastructure, and infrastructure has regional impacts. So that's certainly an important piece of the messaging outside of the region. But then I think there's also just the fact that jobs in Springfield can only have a ripple effect throughout the region, and as well as, you know, repatriating gaming revenue that's gone across the state line because there's a catalytic impact for businesses that move into Springfield that impact the suburbs, and those suburbs then are able to expand that benefit to their surrounding areas and so on and so forth.
You mentioned the gaming law, and I know the casino companies have complained about some aspects of the gaming law, particularly where it comes to areas of tax reporting on the gambling winnings. Do you find yourself in kind of an awkward position now where you've got to go out and defend the law in total?
No, not at all. I think, and we're on the record, I think there's a few applicants that have, along the way, that have commented on how comprehensive the Massachusetts Gaming Act is. We believe it's the most comprehensive, sort of the best of the best, and we've requested minor tweaks along the way, and I think that's to be expected. This is a new industry to the Commonwealth, and getting the operator perspective on a couple of items is to be expected, and you know those can happen over time, pre-opening certainly, and you know, the tax reporting issue really goes to making sure that Massachusetts facilities are as competitive as the Connecticut and Rhode Island facilities that the Gaming Act was intended to compete with. So, you know, there's a mutual benefit and in interest in making sure that we get that right. But on, in whole, that the Gaming Act is perfectly defendable, and we're going to go out and make sure we do that.